In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, what a bright and radiant day, the Feast of the Transfiguration. And this year, August 6th, falls on a Sunday, so the church is full. We're all here to celebrate the wonderful works of God in His self-disclosure to us, who receive His light and become enlightened, receive this grace and this radiance, this glory. And this is, of course, our calling to become saints, to be people who are filled with God's glory. When we look at the icons, we see the halo. In the tradition of the church, that's actually called the glory of God that is shared with us through Christ and in the Holy Spirit. What a bright and radiant day. What a tremendous feast we celebrate. Transfiguration, as we know, the Greek term is metamorphosis. One definition means a change in form or appearance. A second definition is an exalting spiritual change, a participation in glory. It's this second definition that we'll speak about today. An exalting spiritual change, a participation in glory. But first we should say, everyone wants transfiguration, whether we know it or not, whether we're believers or unbelievers. Everyone wants transfiguration. We want to be smarter, better looking, healthier, wealthier, more popular, more talented. Everyone searches for more. Everyone wants more. Who doesn't want more? Everyone wants more. We want more of life. And we want life more abundant. We want more abundant life, eternal life. This is, of course, what the Lord brings to us. He promises us this life more abundant, this eternal life. And He said to His disciples, as He taught and He worked miracles, He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Notice He says many prophets and righteous sought to see what the disciples see and hear what the disciples heard. They sought this full disclosure of God, this full revelation. They sought this brightness and this radiance that shines through Christ. This is why the crowds flocked to Him. This is why the nation went after Him. This is why the world was converted to Him. Because He revealed life more abundant, eternal life. And on this day, the Feast of the Transfiguration, we remember how He took Peter, James, and John, just three of the 12. He took them apart and He brought them up a mountain. And there He showed them this radiance, this brightness. His face shone like the sun, and His garments were as white as light. And there was a bright cloud that overshadowed the mountain. And the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. He is telling you the way to eternal life, to life more abundant. Listen to Him." Christ revealed His glory, and Christ reveals the way to glory. But interestingly, He only brought Peter, James, and John. He didn't bring the 12. He didn't bring the 70. He didn't bring the crowds. He only brought Peter, James, and John. These three. They were those who were closest to Him. They were those who accepted His teaching better than anyone else. St. Nikolai Vivanarovich, he says, that they are the ones who excelled in the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. They were the ones that clung to Christ. And Christ showed them His radiance, as much as they could bear it, as much as they could tolerate it. Because as the scriptures say, no one can see God and live. Also appearing were Moses and Elias. Who were they? They were the great righteous men of the Lord in the Old Testament, who made an ascent up mountains. Moses went up Mount Sinai, Prophet Elias went up Mount Horeb. Actually, they're talking about the same place. This is the same mountain, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. They both ascended this mountain and they had converse with the Lord. Remember Moses? He went up. He was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And he had this conversation with God. And he asked to see God's glory. Remember that? He said, Lord, let me see your glory. And Moses was told by God that I will put you in a cleft of the rock while my glory is passing by, and I will cover you with my hand till I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses saw only the back parts of God. And when he descended the mountain, his face was shining. The Israelites had to cover him. They had to cover his face. It was so bright because he had seen the light. Elias, he went up the mountain, Mount Horeb, after this 40-day journey, after this preparation, just like Moses. And he had an experience of God. Was it in the earthquake? Was it in the fire? Was it in the strong wind? No, it was in none of these. It was in that gentle breeze. And it says, and when Elias heard the voice of this gentle breeze, he covered his face with his mantle. And he went out and he stood before the cave and spoke with the Lord. He covered his face. He couldn't look at the brightness of God. And yet they appear at the transfiguration on Mount Tabor, conversing with the Lord. Speaking with the Lord about this brightness, this radiance. This brightness and radiance specifically with regard to what? What was their conversation about? Who remembers that? What were they discussing? The Lord's crucifixion. That's what he was talking to Moses and Elias about. He also references this to the disciples Peter, James, and John as he's descending the mountain. Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. He speaks about his crucifixion because that's actually the moment when the brightness and the radiance of the Father shines forth perfectly, more than on the transfiguration. But who has eyes to see? Who saw that radiance? What happened when the Lord was crucified on Mount Golgotha? Was it a bright day? No. It says darkness covered the whole earth, right? The sun didn't give its light. It was the darkest day because creation had rejected its creator. Those who were to be enlightened had chosen darkness. But the light overcomes the darkness. The light overcomes death. And Christ shines on the cross with such brilliance that it eclipses everything. The Lord shone with the light of his divinity on Tabor and on Golgotha. His uncreated light as the sun of righteousness eclipsed the created light of the earthly sun. Just as the creator eclipses the creation. Just as life eclipses death. And love eclipses our egotism. Our selfishness. This is precisely what happened on the cross. The love of God was shown in its perfect measure, so much so that he would accept rejection, crucifixion, even death. He accepted it all so that he could embrace us with his love. You could not see love more brightly, more perfectly than on the cross. This is the love of godliness. You know, love is of God. All virtue is of God. And St. Nectarius of Egina has a beautiful quote. He says, the glory of virtuous godliness never grows old. It never fears treacherous acts. It remains solid. It isn't taken away. It doesn't fear loss. It always remains strong and full of life. It isn't threatened by anyone and brightly accompanies a person right to the tomb. which makes it a monument to its immortality. Virtuous godliness is immortal life, life more abundant. This is what Christ has come to give to us. And this is what overcomes death. Godliness. I want to share with you a story from the Desert Fathers, from St. Macarius. What does Macarius mean? We talked about that a number of weeks ago. Think of the Beatitudes. It means blessed. St. Macarius was the saint of blessedness. And there's a story about what happened at his community. He was out in the desert with other monks living this life of Christ. And a gift was brought to the monastery, brought to the cell of St. Macarius. He opens his door, and it's these beautiful grapes. Beautiful grapes. And St. Macarius thanks the giver, and he thinks to himself, what am I to do with these grapes? They'd be wonderful, of course, to eat, but I'm not going to, because one of the brothers here in the monastery is sick. I'm going to send these grapes to the brother. So he does. His other father receives the grapes from St. Macarius, and he says, wow, these are tremendous grapes. And I'm sick. You know, this would be a real consolation for me. But he says, no, I'm not going to partake of these grapes. I'm going to give them to the father next to me in the next cell. And I'm going to tell him, because of my sickness, I can't eat the grapes. I'm going to give them to you. You have them. So this father receives the grapes. And he says, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to give them to the person next to me. And it happens that those grapes were given throughout all of the fathers of the monastery. And eventually the last one says, I have these wonderful grapes. I'm going to give them to the abbot. I'm going to give them to St. Macarius. And St. Macarius receives those grapes, and he realizes that there is love in that community, that there is virtue in that community, that there's godliness in that community. And does he eat the grapes? No, he doesn't. Because he's full. What's he full on? Did he have a big meal? He's full on God. That he doesn't care for the grapes anymore. He's tasted something better. Life more abundant. Who wants ordinary life when you have life more abundant? This is a story about a community living out in the desert, people dedicated to God. But it's also a story about every church. Every church community. Including this one. This one right here. You know, we're about to go from mission status to parish status, right? We're about to have something of a transformation, a transfiguration, as we go from one state to another, moving along towards this maturity in Christ. And this happens at the institutional level, but it also happens at the personal level. In fact, it can't happen at the institutional level. It doesn't happen at the personal level. You know, I think about the people here at this community. Father Daniel, Father Shedunia, you were the founders of this community. And you founded this community on those same principles of godliness, of love, and sacrifice. Care for the Lord and care for one's neighbor. Even now, you're supposed to be in your retirement. I don't know how many times you've come out of retirement to serve in this or that capacity. I don't know how many times. Even last night we had the Feast of the Transfiguration, the Vespers. They were holding down the fort at the choir, as they do all the time. I don't know how many, well, I do know how many transfigurations you've had. 90 in your life. Right? You made that ascent. And you've inspired us to make that ascent too. You know, it would be nice, maybe in, not old age, but older age, to taste a little bit of the grapes for yourself, if you haven't. And I think that's inspired me. I think it's inspired you all to do the same thing. You know, we're here at this property, in this chapel, in this really glorious place that God has given to us to share in His holiness, in His life, more abundant life. We're here because people made that ascent. How many grapes does it cost to have this? A lot of grapes from a lot of people. People made that self-offering out of love. Every time we come to church, we're bringing something to God. What are we bringing? Ourselves. That's the greatest gift that we can give. Sometimes we think, well, God hasn't given me any grapes. I don't have that much in my life. We have existence. We have our very selves. We have a mind, we have a heart, a soul, a body. We get to live in this wonderful creation. We've been given so much by God. And each time we choose not to live a life of selfishness and egotism and darkness, each time we choose to live a life of unselfishness and love and radiance, each time we choose that, we're offering ourselves up. We're ascending that mountain with the Lord. We are being transfigured. We are partaking in an exalted spiritual change, a participation in the glory of God. Last night, we assembled for Vespers. And we sung those hymns. We offered those prayers. We had the Latia. We partook of the bread and the wine. We were anointed with that oil. We were exalted. Every time we come to the church, every time we offer ourselves to God, He lifts us up and exalts us. And we share His glory. And this is what's been happening here at this church, in this community. But like when the Lord walked the earth, and this is important, like when the Lord walked the earth and there were those concentric circles, Peter, James, and John, the 12, the 70, the myrrh bearers, the 500 brethren, the crowds, there were also those who did not accept that life more abundant. They wanted regular life. And the Lord said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, you will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never comprehend. For this people's heart has become dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes, so that they might not see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. There are going to be people in this community and in every community who are going to choose life instead of life more abundant. And each of us has to make that choice for ourselves. What do we want to do? Where are we going to find our happiness, our glory, in becoming smarter, better looking, healthier, wealthier, more popular, more talented, etc.? Or are we going to find our transcendent, eternal life in God? We have to ask ourselves that question. Who do we want to be? How close do we want to be to the Lord? How much do we want the light and love of God to eclipse our own darkness and egotism? What will we do with the grapes that have been given to us? What will we do with the life that has been given to us? Brothers and sisters, the Lord is going up the mountain right now. Right now. Can we see it? Are our eyes open? Our ears, are we listening? The Lord is making that ascent now, and He's asking us, Chad, Oscar, Andrew, Kelly, all of us, do we want to make that ascent? Do we want to be transfigured? Brothers and sisters, let us answer in the affirmative. Let us offer ourselves to God so that He can share His glory with us. So that we can become those saints that He wants us to be. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.